Welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. It is July 3rd, 2013. We got a lot of breaking news, including news right here in Austin, so let's get right to it. Top story headline, mysterious low-flying plane buzzes Austin. Now, if we can go to some of that footage, guys, so people can see this plane. Yeah, you can see it right there. We were out and about, Alex was out and about in Austin today, and we saw this here in the studio as well, right outside. You know, there's this plane, you can see it right there, and you screen flying very, very low. You know, I don't know the exact height, but it is flying much lower than what you would think would be necessary. And for more on this, we have Alex Jones, who actually interviewed one of the witnesses of this event.
Ma'am, you just heard me talking on the phone, and you said you saw it. Tell us what you saw.
I saw a large airplane fly in between the buildings in Austin. This morning at 10 a.m., it was terrifying, and I had no idea what it was.
I was out driving.
Yeah, I was driving too.
And I looked up and it filled the entire screen of my car.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought it was 9/11. What did you think?
That's what I thought. It's exactly what I thought. But then I was like, why don't they do it in Austin?
Did you see it do it two more times?
No, I lost it.
Exactly, because it was so low.
I was looking up too high then.
Well, no, I mean, it just comes by quick.
That's crazy.
I saw it go between buildings. What did you see?
I saw it going towards the buildings. And then I saw it go in between buildings.
Yeah, no,
and
no.
Then I couldn't
when
see
I saw it, I couldn't even believe it.
I couldn't either. And that's, I thought, 9/11. Absolutely. 100%.
That's what everybody I talked to. And I talked to people on the street that saw it. But
oh, great. So I'm not the only one.
No. This was a national news story.
Really?
They did this a few years ago in New York and terrified everybody.
Right. Perfect. Thanks.
It turns out it's called the Doomsday Plane. It's like a shadow government. There's a nuclear war plane.
What?
It's called the Doomsday Plane.
Is it like government?
Yeah, it's a secret government.
A secret government?
They've got like six of them.
Great. So why did they do it? What is it?
No, what? I was just wondering, did they let people know beforehand?
They terrorized New York 3 years ago with it.
Perfect.
But listen, I'm only talking to her because we got footage at her office in South Austin. I was downtown, and I'm driving, and all of a sudden, it was like,
yeah.
And I was like, whoa. I thought I was crazy.
Yeah, I did too. I thought I was crazy because I couldn't find it anymore. Like, after going through the buildings, I couldn't.
Well, see, that's the thing. When they're that low, that's how it is.
That's so scary.
That low, you're like, did I just see a giant aircraft fly right by?
Did I see a giant aircraft fly right by me? That's exactly what I was thinking.
Well, listen, thanks for talking to us.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, folks, Alex Jones signing off for InfoWars.com. And we will continue to scan the skies. This is a huge psyop to condition us for military occupation.
Yeah, like I said, we saw this here at the studio as well. Everybody went outside with their cameras, with their phones, with their iPads, and we're just shooting this thing that's, you know, and people say, well, what if it's, you know, a plane just taxiing or a plane that's, you know, coming in to land? It wasn't that, because you can see it right there. This thing is flying at a very low height all through the city. Flying through downtown, through other areas, you know, we saw it here at the office. And it was, it's a very dangerous thing because Alex points out this thing was flying low enough it could have easily hit a building if it had any type of malfunction. And actually, I want to go to this, our next article. Flying low, buzzing jet, just a training exercise. Now, this is something out of an affiliate here in Austin, Texas. And you can see it right there, KXAN. Now, we have our own footage of this, but you can see the image right there. From the images that we have ourselves, we can see that it does bear at least a resemblance to the emblems on the bottom side of the wings and so forth. That is apparent in our footage as well. But there's one thing I want to point out to you guys. If we can scroll down a little bit on the image and we can get the timestamp right there. Zoom in. Now, 7/03/2013 isn't so much my issue. It's, you see how it's all pixelated there? And I'm looking at this and, you know, sitting there with our producer, Rob Dew, and we're like, why does it look like that? Why is it so pixelated on that one particular image? Now, I do believe that to be a accurate representation of the aircraft, but my question is, why does it look so much so pixelated on that timestamp? You know, that's, you know, nothing I've had a chance to get to the bottom of, but just something to you, the viewer, to point out. Now, I want to go to one more article pertaining to this. Obama, New York City flyover was a mistake. Now, this is something that Alex was talking about earlier today on The Day Show. And he was saying, you know, this reminds me of 2009 when this thing was flying real low through New York City. And, you know, they said it was just a photo op. You know, it's a photo op. A lot of people were scared stiff. You can see the plane right there flying very low, very similar to what happened today in Austin, very low through the buildings. And many people thought it was a new 9/11. But no, it's just the president, you know, using your tax dollars to scare New Yorkers by having planes fly through buildings. Now, we're going to go to this clip now of CNN. Now, this isn't that particular video, but this is a clip by CNN pointing out how these low-flying airplanes are affecting people.
Carnage of 9/11, a mysterious plane was seen flying right over the president's residence. Even some CNN staffers saw it. To this day, it has never been officially explained.
Say the details are classified. This comparison of the CNN video and an official Air Force photo suggests the mystery plane is among the military's most sensitive aircraft, an Air Force E-4B.
The average military person isn't involved. Even the average FBI person isn't involved. They'll just be told, oh, it was some drill. And it gets you used to just having a giant secret shadow government aircraft almost run into buildings.
And for more on this, we're going to go to a Air Force veteran, Mr. John Major. Thank you for joining us, John.
No problem.
Now, if we can put if we can put those videos back up for our viewers. Now, John, I believe you saw this footage earlier today. These are low-flying planes. You can see it right there on your screen, flying low through Austin. Alex was in downtown Austin, said those things were flying not too much higher than the skyscrapers in downtown Austin.
Yeah. Yeah, and if you notice about the bulkhead, that's slightly behind where the pilots would be driving the plane. Mm-hmm. You see that on top there are sensors up there which are indicative of the E-4B. So okay. I believe Alex has identified it right. That is the E-4B.
And that's somewhat of a radar hub on the top. Is that correct?
Correct. And it should also have some antennas for command and control in there also. But, yeah, it's pretty much from what I've understood in the military is that was the mother of the AWACS system that was flown in the military.
Okay, now, do you have any idea why that would be flown so low through the city? Like I said, I can't give you exact height, but, you know, seeing planes take off and, you know, fly around the city, it seemed like it was pretty low.
Yeah, I agree, and it did look like it was unmarked. Mm-hmm. I didn't see any windows. It looked like a fairly clear shot. I would have liked a little closer up, but from what I could tell, it is the E-4B, and they only made four of them. So,
of that one particular plane?
Yeah, the ones they converted over to E-4Bs were about four of them. It was all for upper echelon, kind of Secretary of Defense, President, kind of like Air Force One, kind of, but more of a militarized version of that.
Okay. Now, we know this is just a short segment. We're going to have you back again at the end in our interview segment. But briefly, let me get your thoughts on Edward Snowden. This guy, he comes out, he releases this information. You know, you as a military man, or should I say retired military man, what do you feel about this?
What he's saying is definitely true. It's been stated by, I find it rather, you know, satirical a little bit that that President Obama and a lot of the leftists in the government seem to be chasing him down like he's done something really horrible when all he's stated is the obvious, what they've already stated themselves. And
yeah, chasing him down like he ran some guns into Mexico or killed some kids with drones or something.
Exactly. And I want to make a call out to fellow military that they, you know, if you know some stuff, you know, Snowden did the right thing and he's taking, I hope the American people and I hope other countries will help aid and help him, you know, preserve his life. Because I really do believe that these people may catch up with him and kill him. And I'd hate to see another patriot lose their life over
this. So you don't consider him to be a traitor?
Not at all. The prime directive of every military person is to the U.S. Constitution. And when you know there's a violation of it, it's your duty. You know, you may have signed some contract with NSA, FBI, whoever issued your clearance. It doesn't really matter. If you know something's wrong, you need to expose that. And that's actually trained to the soldiers. When they're in basic training, they're told that they're required to not obey illegal orders. And so when you get illegal orders Are you going to be the coward, or are you going to stand up like Snowden, you know? And I just hope that enough people stand up that this gets exposed properly rather than him just getting blown over as a twig in the wind.
You know? Yeah, I hope so as well. Now, John, this is a short segment. You can stay right there. We'll get it right back to you right after our break. All right, and like I said, stay tuned because he's going to have more to... share right after this break. And let's move on in our newscast. Ohio City bans fireworks, drinks, grills, and enacts mandatory bag searches for 4th of July. So it seems the way they celebrate your independence, your freedom, and the state of Ohio is taking all of your freedoms from you. Now, if we can scroll down a little bit to some of these bullet points here, we see that the rules follow will be in effect in Lakewood Park on July 4th, 2013. All generators, propane and gas-fueled grills are prohibited. See all tents, all personal fireworks, no dogs or pets, no alcohol, all beverages and all that stuff. So, yeah, you have a very free 4th of July by being able to do nothing that you want to do by having no freedom. Oh, yeah, and remember, the entire park is under surveillance. So, yeah, just keep that in mind when you're celebrating your independence. Now, we'll move on to this. This is an article we posted a little bit earlier in the week, but it still rings true right here. Sparkler terrorism. Bloomberg urges Cuomo to veto fireworks bill. So, you know, Mr. Bloomberg, you can see it right there. Some people say his brain is shorting out right there in that image. Mr. Bloomberg has gone to Governor Cuomo, and he says, you know, you're going to have a lot of problems with the terrorists and so forth if you allow people to have things as simple as sparklers. You know, the very safe in many pens, you may get a brief, minor, not even real burn, just, you know, little stump you can just wipe off right there if you play with a sparkler. But, you know, you're saying, no, you can have a lot of terrorism incidents if you allow the people to have things, just like you're going to have problems if you allow people to drink large sodas and take pain pills and use styrofoam. You're going to have these kind of incidents. So to, you know, be one step ahead of these wicked terrorists, we have to ban sparklers. I'm not making that up. I do encourage you to go and read that article for yourself by Adan Salazar. Now we'll move on to this. Egyptian military oust Morsi suspends constitution. On Wednesday, General al-Sisi announced a military coup in Egypt. He said that the constitution has been suspended and that the elections would take place and that there would be a code of ethics for the media. By code of ethics, I'm pretty sure they mean that you won't be able to do anything that they don't want you to do. We'll scroll down a little bit more. CNN reports the sound of gunfire near pro-Morsi demonstrations, adding that the Muslim Brotherhood followers had been training with sticks in preparation for violence. And we'll scroll down a little bit more. Just before the military announced the ouster of Morsi, the army sent troops and armored vehicles to military-sensitive points around the city, including throughout Cairo. So, you know, these people, they're well-armed, they're well-trained, and we see a similar situation here in the States. Yes, the DHS has mine-proof armored personnel carriers. Yes, they have fully automatic weapons. Yes, they have bullets and a place to go train, as we reported yesterday. But none of that's for you. Just like none of that, I'm pretty sure, was for the people of Egypt until they just decided to pull it out and use it. So just keep that in mind the next time they say all that stuff. The no hesitation targets, they're not for you. They're not to shoot you or your daughter or your son. As you saw the little boy targeted. If you don't believe me, go type in no hesitation targets. You can see a target of a little boy, a child, not a teenager, a little boy. But I'm getting off topic. Let's go here. Foreign troops are already operating inside the United States of America. Now, this is an article by Paul Joseph Watson, a series of articles that he's been following here at InfoWars. People such as Michael Savage have jumped on this as well. Let's go take a look. FEMA's denial of a report that suggested Russian forces would be operating inside the United States at mass events ignores the manifestly provable fact that Russian and other foreign troops are already active inside the U.S. and have been for at least two decades. We'll scroll down a little bit more. The federal agency was forced to deny a report published by InfoWars on Monday, which cited an official Russian government press release that detailed a plan for Russian authorities to be involved in the provision of security at mass events in the United States. So, you know, an official Russian government press release. So this is what they say. They say, yes, we're coming there and we're going to do whatever it is that we choose to do. But, you know, here in the States, of course, they're going to deny. that's the way they like to do it here in the States. So, you know, I'm not saying I'm rooting for the Russians, but, you know, I do believe the Russians in this case, that they plan to come here and are actively engaged in various drills. We've seen drills all over the country that involve not just Russian troops, but other troops from other countries. So it's already happening here in the country, and it's a violation of posse comitatus and other things as well. So definitely be aware of that. Next time you go to the Super Bowl, you may get a pat down from, a nice Russian comrade. So let's move on to this. U.S. Park Police lost track of huge supply of weapons, report says, just like they lost, you know, the weapons in Operation Fast and Furious. And I'm not a fan of RFIDs and other types of tracking, but if you're going to ship all these guns, why don't you at least temporarily put these on your firearms? But I'll go take a look at this first paragraph here. The U.S. Park Police has lost track of a huge supply of handguns, rifles, and shotguns, according to a report released Thursday on the law enforcement agency responsible for safeguarding the National Mall and critical American landmarks. So, you know, they like to have all these guns, ship these guns, not just these, you know, wicked rifles, you know, that's the big thing now, but also shotguns and handguns, you know, your pistols and so forth. And like I said, you know, I'm not a big tracking guy, but can we have some type of measures to track these guns so they don't end up in the hands of, let's say, you know, Mexican drug cartels, you know, people who have known criminal offenses, you know, all these talks about background checks and so forth. But we say, oh, yeah, let's go sell to the Mexican drug cartel. I'm pretty sure there are a few murderers and big cocaine dealers and other people, but, you know, that's all well and good. And I'm pretty sure, you know, nobody's really going to get in trouble because we haven't seen any heads really roll from Operation Fast and Furious. Now we'll move on to this. This is something that we got a call about earlier today, a tip on the tip line from all people, Mr. Joel Skousen, and we'll be talking to him in just one moment. Reddit, Mozilla, and others planned huge online protest against NSA for July 4th. And for more on this, we have him joining us now, Mr. Joel Skousen. Thank you for joining us, Mr. Skousen.
My pleasure to be with you today.
All right, now you called into the Alex Jones radio show today and you said, did you guys know that there's going to be a big protest at one of the NSA centers? Can you fill us in on that?
Well, the main NSA center that is going to open in September is in Bluffdale, Utah. It's a real embarrassment to our state to have bent over backwards to try to gain this so-called jobs and money gain for the state and bringing in this data center. Now that the NSA spy scandal has broken and we know that the NSA is spying on everything, cell phones as well as emails, financial information, credit cards, all of that information is going to be stored at the data center in Bluffdale, Utah, as well as the new one that they're upgrading in San Antonio, Texas. Mm-hmm. So we feel very strongly it's time for Utahns to show their protest of having this center in its midst. We're hoping to get a lot of media coverage here on the 4th of July to try to give the impression that not everybody in Utah is pleased to have a major government center like this. A violation of the Fourth Amendment right here in Utah.
Yes, and we see these things all over. The one that you talked about in San Antonio, I've actually been there myself. I encountered some guards there, and they said, hey, what are you guys doing out here? We were just filming on the sidewalk, or maybe we turned a little bit into their driveway, but they pulled up in a controlled three-car, you know, one of those things like you see in the movie. They hop out. What are you guys doing here? What are you guys doing here? And Alex, we were talking to Alex on the phone. He said, hey, hand him an article saying that the NSA has lost cases, saying that reporters can't, you know, report on their findings there. But more of what you said, can we put up that article, guys? This is from the Huffington Post. This is Reddit, Mozilla, and others planned huge online protest against NSA for 4th of July. And Mr. Skousen, we don't have an NSA center here in Austin. Well, at least not an official one anyway. But they will have a rally at the Capitol building. So would you recommend people go to their Capitol buildings if they can't make it to an NSA center?
Yes, absolutely. I think we need to really show that America is very upset by this NSA revelation. There's no hint of contrition in the government about spying. They're simply justifying this, as they do always with the phony war on terror. We need to really begin to get America upfront with the media to show that we are very upset with this spying and that we want an end to it. Now, realistically, they won't shut down this spy center because of our protest, and they won't, even if they did say they were going to stop spying, we couldn't trust the government to do so. Mm-hmm. But I think the major objective of this NSA protest here in Utah on the 4th of July is to get media coverage sufficient that people begin to think that, yeah, maybe other people object to this just like I do. Right now, the media isn't showing any major objection from the American public to this NSA spying.
Yes, that's right, because every time you turn on one of the major networks, you know, it's a group of pundits sitting around like, yeah, they spy on us. Yeah, they've been lying about it for years, but what's the big deal? And we think about Mr. Snowden as well as other whistleblowers, and he said his biggest concern is that this information will come out and the American people would do nothing about it.
Yes, and that's my greatest fear. I always thought, as I wrote in the World Affairs Brief, if anything ought to wake up the American public, it's the fact that the government lied about closing down DARPA's total awareness system. In fact, they didn't shut it down. They kept moving forward until they've got it totally implemented now. And now their biggest problem is storage space. Let me just say as a practical matter here, for those in Utah listening to this Alex Jones broadcast, the way to meet for this rally is to go down Redwood Road south until you get across from the main gate to Camp Williams. This will put you right on the side of the road where the NSA Center is being built. It's the closest we can get to it. There will be speakers there, including myself. If you want to meet me there, I'd be happy to talk to you. Dr. Truott will be there as well, and many other patriots in Utah speaking on this issue.
And do you have a time to meet?
9 o'clock on tomorrow morning, 4th of July, and it'll only last about an hour, so if you've got other activities during the day, you'll still be able to get to those.
All right, that's good. Now, I'm going to ask you briefly, today we reported on some news of a low-flying airplane coming through the city of Austin, and I do believe you said you didn't have a chance to take a look at that footage, but just the notion, I believe you're a military man yourself, what do you think about a low-flying plane coming through a city, a major city such as Austin?
As a pilot, I can tell you that it's illegal for any aircraft to fly below 1,000 feet or 2,000 feet within a populated area like Austin. So in order to do that, they have to be, of course, have special military permission or, in many cases, you know, dark side permission of the government. And I think that's what's occurring here.
Yes, and Alex was very concerned, as were we. You know, many people in Austin said they spotted the airplane. We saw it here at our studios. Various people saw it downtown in various other locations. Not to mention, I saw a helicopter flying around my apartment building the other day. I'm not saying that's, there it is right there on the screen for our viewers. I'm not necessarily saying that was related to what we saw today, but a lot of people were very concerned about that, Mr. Skousen.
What was disturbing, though, is there have been other military maneuvers in downtown city locations, and when civilians begin to film it with their cell phone, you have police and military coming up and demanding that they shut off their cameras.
Mm-hmm. Just like in Boston, just like in Boston.
Exactly. And this is illegal, of course. It's in a public space. They've not made a warning. They've not taped the area off. It's public property, and they kept saying this is city property, and said, that's right, it's public property. And we are allowed to film here, but they arrested the person. So what I'm worried about is judges are no longer upholding the rule of law about defending Americans' right to film and to watch things that are in the public domain.
Exactly. So you're doing this thing in Utah, which I definitely hope people would go out to. Is there anything else that you would recommend to people? I remember briefly, well, not briefly, but earlier this year, there were talks about having various armed marches at capitals. Would you support anything like that?
Well, I do feel it's important not to do things that provoke government unnecessarily, as the Adam Kokesh wanted to march in D.C. where the you know, arms are illegal. I don't think that's going to change anything, and so I'm not in favor of that particular march. I am, of course, much in favor of demonstrating wherever we need to about the right to bear arms. Especially relative to the UN Treaty on Arms and any further encroachments of the Second Amendment.
Yes, sir. Now, Mr. Skousen, we've been reporting here at InfoWars various police brutalities. We saw yesterday a clip of a gentleman had his dog shot because the gentleman was arrested for filming police. Also, we have a report just today about two women being cavity searched on the side of the road for marijuana. You know, is this the type of government encroachment that you're speaking of?
Well, it is. And once again, as I say, the reason the government has been reluctant to do these things before is that they could get hauled before a judge and be sanctioned for this kind of behavior. This just doesn't happen anymore. As well as William Grigg Jr., who's probably cataloged more cases of police abuse and thuggery on his website than anyone else, what's decidedly disturbing is that the courts are no longer siding with victims of police brutality anymore. They let them go, and they say, you know, it's not up to us to second guess police intentions here. Well, it is up to the courts to determine police intentions and to determine police compliance with the law, and they're not doing that anymore. So we've lost our third leg of the government.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Now, Mr. Skadden, we've come to the end of our time. Can you give us your closing thoughts?
It's really important that I think people begin to register our discontent with this NSA spying. Let the government know we're not going to take this anymore. Thank you very much. Thanks for your help, gentlemen.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Skousen. And there he goes, Mr. Joel Skousen, the author of The Secure Home and also Strategic Relocation, both available in the InfoWars shop. Now, we'll finish here with our last article. National Intelligence Director apologizes for lying to Congress.
Does the NSA collect any type of data at all on millions or hundreds of millions of Americans?
No, sir.
It does not.
Not wittingly. There are cases where they could inadvertently, perhaps, collect, not wittingly.
Not wittingly, he says. And if you go and watch that full clip on InfoWars.com, you can see Ms. Dianne Feinstein saying, well, maybe he just didn't understand the question, but you saw just as well as I did. The guy said, does the NSA collect any type of information on people? And the guy says, well, not wittingly. And later on, he has to say this. Let's go take a look at the article. My response was clearly erroneous, for which I apologize. So there you go. You know, he goes and gives you the big whopper there, then says, oh, I'm sorry. And as the OTS points out right there, he's sorry that he lied. He's also sorry that he got caught. So, well, at least he admitted he was lying. So we'll give you that much. Now, that's the end of our news portion. We'll go now to our quote of the day. This from Woodrow Wilson. We are no longer a government by free opinion, no longer a government by conviction and by the vote of the majority, but a government by the opinion and the duress of small groups of dominant men. That by Woodrow Wilson. Now, stay tuned, because as I alluded to earlier, Mr. John Major is going to be joining us again right after this break. So go to the InfoWars shop, pick up a copy of our latest magazine. You got it right here, a nice glossy cover, and also the bumper stickers inside. These are real good quality bumper stickers that last quite a long while. So be sure to pick that up at the InfoWars shop, and also stop by PrisonPlanet.tv. Get yourself a 15-day free trial. You can get it all right there. The Alex Jones Show, the rants, the InfoWars Nightly News, all that's right there at the InfoWars, at PrisonPlanet.tv. So stay tuned. We'll be back right after this break with Mr. John Major.
Now you can watch the InfoWars Nightly News streaming live as it happens for free.
Check it out at InfoWars.com/show.
Because there's a war on for your mind. That has been our motto here at InfoWars for my 18 years of battle against the globalist. And now we see the open announcements of global, private, corporate tyranny over our governments. That's what the New World Order is. It's an unaccountable, private combine of organized crime engaged in corporate takeovers of nation states and the conscious attempt to abolish basic rights and fundamental liberties. InfoWars.com is not just leading the charge against this here in the U.S. or North America. We are leading the charge worldwide. And that's because our listeners, our viewers, our supporters, fellow freedom lovers like you across the planet resonate with our message of liberty and telling it like it is. And that's why for the last 2 years especially, I have thrown everything I've got, my time, my energy, our backup capital, everything into really trying to awaken the sleeping giant that is humanity. And that's why the July issue that just came in a few days ago is so important. We've already sold about half the stock we have of it at cost in groups of 10 up to 100 in bulk. It covers the entire NSA spy grid, how it ties in worldwide, how it's not about stopping terrorists, but about suppressing and dominating and controlling the free press and political opposition. And in this magazine, we don't just have three free bumper stickers like I did a few months ago. We have 10 bumper stickers, four full-size ones with amazing messages guaranteed to get people thinking like America has been occupied by globalist forces. InfoWars.com. Listen to Alex Jones at InfoWars.com. InfoWars.com. Forbidden information. Listen to Alex Jones. InfoWars.com. And then on top of it, 6 medium-sized bumper stickers with the message as well. These are key to post in legal and lawful areas on your book bag, your computer, your car, or to give friends and family. I have printed 500,000 of these bumper stickers. Only half of this month's run of magazines has them. So when you purchase them in bulk or you're a 12-month subscriber, you will get the special issue. And I can't afford to do this every month, so it's going to be quite a while until we do this again. Please take advantage of this. Buy them in bulk and give them to your friends and family and encourage them to get these bumper stickers out, because with 500,000 stickers, we can reach tens of millions of people with the message of truth. They want to collectivize us. They want to bankrupt us. They want to drive us into their arms to control us. They want to dumb us down. But the sleeping giant that is free humanity is awakening. So I want to thank you all for your support. I want to encourage everybody to go to InfoWarsStore.com and to get a 12-month subscription or to give a gift subscription. Imagine 12 of these coming to your friends or family's door to wake them up. Or to give a gift subscription to the local police department or your local congressman or woman. This is how we're going to affect change, voting with our dollars and voting with our time. Again, visit InfoWarsStore.com today to subscribe, to get the magazine in bulk, or to give a gift subscription, or to give yourself a subscription to wake up friends and family. I am all in. I am committed 110% to not mince words and to not back off and to boldly confront the globalist. So I want to thank all of you that have supported us in the past, and I want to encourage all of you out there who may be on the fence, that know this information is true but have been scared to take action. You had better be scared of not taking action and letting this monstrous system come to fruition. Now is the time to commit. Now is the time to say which side of history you're on. Now is the time to stand against the globalist and the New World Order. And regardless of whether you get this July issue, this July 4th resistance to tyrants issue, spread the word about liberty, resist corruption in your area. Millions of us doing little things can move mountains together. I'm Alex Jones, signing off for InfoWars.com and the InfoWars team. Johnny Appleseed was born during the Revolutionary War. He's not just a legend. And in more than 5 states, he introduced apples that had not even been grown in the colonies. Later, the seeds from plants he planted and cultivated and some of the varieties he developed spread across the United States. And it was Johnny Appleseed teaching the colonists and then the new Americans, after we won independence, the love of planting fruit trees that introduced that idea to North America. Ladies and gentlemen, it is a revolutionary act to unplug from the television, to unplug from the computer and all the globalist propaganda, and to go out in your backyard or your front yard or planters at your apartment or on the roof of the building where you live, and to plant a garden.
Become the Johnny Appleseed of your community with seeds from the InfoWars Seed Center at InfoWarsStore.com.
The simple act of planting fruits and vegetables and then tending them and taking care of them and then sharing them with friends and family is a revolutionary act against tyranny. The globalists, first and foremost, do not want us to be self-sufficient. The crony anti-free market capitalist, the fascist, are using socialism and collectivism to shut down societies. Stalin in Poland and in Ukraine and other areas starved on record more than 10 million people over 5 years by not letting them grow their own crops and collectivizing them. Mao killed between 65 million and 80 plus million people doing the same thing. The UN says they will use food as a weapon. They use genetic evil to attack the earth, and major GMO companies have been caught going into growth belts around the world, even where GMO is illegal, and planting seeds everywhere to infect the genetics of the original crops. Almost all of the thousands of varieties of Mexican corn has been infected. They are in a genetic war against everyone. That's why we have to get these seeds and not just plant them on our own gardens and not just give them as gifts to friends and family to plant spring and summer and fall gardens. I'm calling on you to go out into the green belts, to go out into the areas and plant secret gardens. No, not of marijuana, but of the hundreds and hundreds of incredible high-quality vegetables and herbs and fruit plants that are here. Lemons and oranges, the list goes on and on. They will grow, plum trees, grape trees, they will grow almost everywhere in the U.S. We can literally, not just buying these products from InfoWarsStore.com, but from wherever you get them. This aggressive program literally just came to me one morning when I woke up about 4 a.m. realizing that we've got to counter their genetic war against us with original, real crops developed over eons on this planet. We have the lowest prices. We bought it in the biggest bulk that some of these companies have ever seen to ship this directly to you from the InfoWars Command Center. We stand for life. We stand for liberty. We stand for self-sufficiency. Go to InfoWarsStore.com, click on the Seed Center, and as of taping this, we have the 7 top respected brands. We intend to continue to do research and find other companies, other specialties, other varieties to really take action.
The InfoWars Store Seed Center has the largest online selection of heirloom non-GMO seeds.
Check out these products from our newest supplier, Heirloom Organics.
The Medicine Garden for a natural remedy.
The Tea Garden that contains every important tea herb you can grow.
Fruit Lovers with 12 varieties.
And the Tobacco Pack, additive and pesticide free.
Join the gardening revolution today at InfoWarsStore.com.
This is a revolutionary action we're asking you to take. Plant seeds everywhere today. Nurture them, bring them to fruit, and pass on the knowledge to others. Become human again. Discover your roots in the soil. And remember, the revolution against tyranny is growing.
And welcome back. Now, for our interview segment tonight, you got to meet our guest earlier on. He is John Major, an Air Force veteran. He talked to us about the planes flying low through Austin today. He also has more things on his mind, so he's going to join us again. Thanks for sticking around, John. Now, we talked a little bit about the planes in the first segment, but let's go on to some other things. From what I understand, you have a very interesting story to tell about Osama bin Laden.
I joined the military and eventually made my way into airborne intelligence and was deployed to Southcom several times and CENTCOM, CENTCOM especially in Afghanistan theater. Mm-hmm. And while we were flying near the Hindu Kush area, we had sensors on our aircraft that could pick up intel packages that had been set on the ground. And most of them disguised, somehow camouflaged into the environment so they weren't detected.
Right.
And they'd put them in strategic locations like mountain passes, in which that's where this package was in a mountain pass where it kind of funneled traffic through it. So you could scan a lot of people going through. And we had contractors working with us. And we ran their package to retrieve this, so we actually just put it on board with us. Mm-hmm. And flew with it. And then when we got down, I was in the room, and the contractor told us that that was positively identified by the Joint Chiefs staff that had been collected with Osama bin Laden. The package that we collected and brought back down after they processed it.
Right.
That it actually had Osama bin Laden voice and video of him. And that was about October, November of 2007. Wow. I'd heard rumors, you know, we call that in the military rumint, but I'd heard from several colleagues in that it had been, he'd been found earlier, and that they were a little concerned why the military has never acted on it. And that was the case with our information. After they announced that, I never heard it ever make the news and never ever saw the military act on that intel.
Well, so you heard this back in, was this 2007?
Correct.
Okay, so you're watching
that.
Well, you
Bush administration.
Okay, so. Bush administration. So you experienced this back in 2007. Now let's fast forward a few years. You know, the death of Osama bin Laden. They shot him in the face and threw him in the ocean. What was your reaction to that?
That wouldn't have been the way they would have done it. They would have definitely had other units involved after that. You know, had a SEAL team actually found it, they would have probably tried to get two or three other organizations in to verify and everything. It wouldn't have just been, oh yeah, our super well trained SEALs, they're going to go and execute, bury, and everything.
So you're saying that they would have sent in some type of intelligence agency, maybe the CIA or another organization?
Yeah, and it may even brought in a combined in the military refers to multinational, you know, several different groups. One of our allies probably would have even come and weighed in with us, the Brits or somebody like that.
Mm-hmm. Somebody closer to the location.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're saying if they did find them, let's just say there's they found them at that compound, you're saying it wouldn't have went down the way the official story says it did?
Yeah, I mean, they might have had an operation like they did, you know, if it really went down that way. They would have had SEAL team maybe go in and do it, but afterwards there would have been a little bit of a mop-up that was properly done instead of, you know, these guys go, oh, yeah, we don't want to make him into a martyr, so we're going to go and, you know, off the body. They would have definitely backed it up, but something's very fishy on that story. My personal theory, we know that Osama bin Laden had been a CIA operative in the past. That's
right.
Very open source. I believe he never stopped, and I believe that maybe they were retiring him. Is it possible, you know?
The boogeyman.
Yeah, now the boogeyman can go and retire. Let's move on to some other topic.
Wow.
That's my personal feelings on
it. Okay, yeah, I'm glad we got that cleared up. Now, I don't want to spend all of our time on that. Now, you also had a story as why you left the Air Force.
Yeah, every time we flew a mission, it was, we have checklists when we fly missions. Everything in the flying in the military is done by checklist. One of those checklists was to go through a briefing on who we collect on. And those are called the United States Security Intelligence Directives.
Mm-hmm.
USID 18 and USID 9 specifically prohibit. Those two directives were always reviewed before every flight. And they say that those USIDs go and direct the military that they are not allowed to go and collect on U.S. persons. You know, it's just redefining First Amendment, pretty much. The people have the right to privacy. They have the right, you know. In the military, we have the ability to collect on cell phone and all kinds of communications, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we were told when we were on in the air, we were not ever to collect on a U.S. citizen. Even if we were in a combat theater in Afghanistan, we still briefed that because there was a chance you might come across an American citizen
mm-hmm.
while you're recording, and as soon as you found someone like that, you were supposed to report that you did it, you know, and you weren't allowed to collect on a corporation, on a U.S. citizen. And then in our intel rooms where we'd go to work when we weren't deployed, I was listening, I think it was Military Channel, and they were airing the general of the DIA, and he got up, I believe this was around 2009.
Okay.
And this general gets up, and they're asking him questions why the Department of Defense is collecting intel on U.S. citizens without having the proper warrants.
So this is back in 2009.
Yeah.
We just recently had the information come out. I'm pretty sure most people who are awake were not surprised by this, but the admissions by Edward Snowden and some of these other guys saying that, hey, these guys have been watching you all along.
Yeah, they openly stated it, and I've heard it times since I left even. But this general, when he got up and he said, to answer that question, when he answered the question, he goes and he says, I was positive that he was going to deny it and say, oh, well, we don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I'd had suspicions that rogue units, I was hoping it was rogue and not just commonplace units were collecting on U.S. citizens. I'd heard rumor of people from different military units other than mine. I know we were really religious about not collecting on U.S.
citizens.
But I'd heard rumor guys would get on there and they'd go and collect to see who could find, you know, the reastiest phone call or something like that.
So you're saying it wasn't even so much for security reasons, they're just probing in people's information?
Yeah, and I actually knew operators that actually admitted to doing that. And
wow.
I usually followed it up with the chew out. And I've reported many situations, and I've never, ever had anyone ever respond to any of my complaints. Mm-hmm. You know, it was like the thing. In my unit, though, like I said, seemed like everybody was on the up and up. But then this general, he gets in there, and instead of denying it, he just openly says, oh, yeah, I do that under executive order.
Wow.
And so it was happening under Bush. I knew, you know, it must have been 2008, because I remember that happened under Bush. And I remember that Bin Laden, Obama was coming in to office.
Okay.
And I didn't have high hopes for the military at that point, just because of statements he'd made of what he was going to do with the military.
Mm-hmm.
The civilian military really concerned me. And so I just, you know, within a year or so, I didn't re-up my contract and I left. And so that's kind of the way I ended my military career, when they openly admitted that they don't respect, you know, they no longer consider themselves public servants, but now they're the bosses in charge of everybody.
So that's how they act about it. That's exactly right. Now, we're going to move on to some other topics, but just briefly, you said you weren't too satisfied, you weren't too confident of the job President Obama was going to do directing our military. How do you feel about Guantanamo Bay still being active today?
Well, it's been well established that they have several sites like that in the military. They don't declare where all of them are at. You know, I was at a joint operations center in Afghanistan right next to a prison similar to that. And, you know, that's another topic there. They use a lot of civilians a lot of times in the military because to do a lot of their travesties they do nowadays with the torture and that. And they don't use the military a lot of times, or if they do, they use the low privates and that to, and then say it was an isolated incident.
Mm-hmm.
But they use the civilian contractors a lot because they don't fall under the UCMJ. And so under the UCMJ, you know, we're punished very severely. You know, we're pretty much following under military rule no matter where we go in the world. But a contractor doesn't follow under that same standard. And so with him, he pretty much gets fired if he's caught doing anything wrong. And then they'll just send him back home and, you know, he can get
bring in the next
job.
Guy.
Exactly. And he can just go get another job with another contracting firm. And, you know, it's a revolving door and they like it that way.
All right. Now, our viewers are watching and they see all these things on our table right here. We have many seeds on here. So I want to shift gears to that. Okay, so we have these things on our table right here, John, and many of our viewers are probably wondering, what are all these seeds doing on here, and why are you talking about this with an Air Force guy, you know, a guy with such intelligence? So can you tell us your involvement with the Seed Center at InfoWars?
Yeah, I've been in the agricultural community. I'm an old farm boy from the Intermountain West.
Okay.
And right now I'm in Idaho, and we've been involved with agricultural production my whole life, but I felt like it was really important now that we see these things coming to a head in the government and we actually see open tyranny.
Mm-hmm.
It's time for people to start preparing, and I feel like it's good to have food storage, it's good to have fuel, that's a good start, but you need to also have a way that you can perpetuate the next generation, and by being able to produce your own food, do sprouting, that kind of thing, that, you know, you can get sprouts growing within just a few days of starting the process. And so I felt like that was a crucial point. I'm really big into prepping, and I think ammunition and everything. I think we need to all start trying to do the best we can. The more prepared every individual is in the country, the less we're going to be impacted when they start trying to control our resources. And we know that's coming down, the electrical grids, you know, the smart meters and all that.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to start controlling resources. And so it's going to, you know, they're going to be able to raise prices on the populace. I really think they're going to try and do away with the middle class and just have us kind of peasants underneath their global elite, you know.
Right.
We see Monsanto and all those guys adulterating everything. And I, like I say, I've been in agriculture since I was a young boy. And now they're, you know, everybody's doing Monsanto everything.
Right.
It's just the way the conventional farmer thinks. They think I'm some retarded hippie for trying to do it the natural way.
Lo and behold, you do it the way it's been done since the beginning of time.
Yeah. And, you know, I even try and, I'm developing my own Wallapini, which is an underground greenhouse, so that I'll be able to produce year-round. You can use less water in some of those. So I'm always trying to find a way that I can be completely off the grid. I've been put on a smart grid. You know, that's a hot topic for me now because they forced that on me. So I'm going to, by the end of the year, I'm planning to be completely off the grid.
That's very good. We have to get close to the end of our show right here. So it's going to finish up a few more topics. Now, you said you're a prepper. You know, that term has many negative connotations.
Yeah.
Do you think, where do you think this comes from? Is it from shows like Doomsday Preppers? Or where do people get this notion that, you know, these preppers are these crazy people with stockpiles of ammunition and food and whatever else, and it's just some real negative thing?
Well, anyone that believes in the Bible, which a good majority of people should, you know, you read through Revelations and Isaiah, you should probably be a prepper, because I don't think God told us those things just to, you know, by the way, it's going to be really rough for you going through that time period of time.
Mm-hmm.
I believe he's trying to tell you, you know, follow my counsel, try and be self-sufficient.
That's a good word, self-sufficient.
Yeah.
Self-sufficient.
Yeah. I don't think, I've heard people tell me, all I stockpile are guns, because I'll just go take it from you other people that are prepared.
Well, you got a few guns of your own, don't you?
I have a lot of guns.
Yeah, yeah.
But I really don't enjoy killing.
Right.
I try and be a good marksman. I want to be more of a humanitarian, and I think the more prepared the people are, the less we're going to need the guns. But I do think we should be prepared for as many scenarios as we can. And, you know, I have a lot of friends kind of jeer at me for being as prepared as I try to be, but
they'll become knocking on your door when something actually happens. So with the time we have left, what advice would you give to somebody who's interested in prepping or just being self-sufficient?
Well, I think, you know, you need to get your, we have a lot of skills that are lost that, you know, the older generations were way more self-sufficient, you know, and I think we need to start developing some of those. I'm okay with technology, but we need to also know how to do a garden, know how to do some of these things, because there may come a time when what you can produce is all you're going to have.
Exactly.
And so I think becoming well-versed in a lot of myriad of different skills is going to help everybody. It'll help us be more resilient in an economy also.
All right. Thank you for your time. We're just out of time, but definitely appreciate you, and not just for the seeds and all the things you do, but also for your military intelligence.
Thanks, sir.
All right. Thank you. And there he goes, a very timely guest, not just telling us about the military planes, but also about our seeds. And you need to check out the InfoWars Seed Center at the InfoWars shop. You can see it right there on your screen. Just like John said, you know, you want to be prepared. You don't want to have to go to the FEMA camp, or you don't want to show up and do whatever thing that they want you to do just to get your rations. So he says, grow your food yourself. It's good. It's healthy. It's heirloom seed. It's not all this Monsanto stuff. So it's good stuff right there at the InfoWars shop. And also check out PrisonPlanet.tv. The Alex Jones Radio Show, the nightly news, the special reports, and so much more. Get your 15-day free trial right there at PrisonPlanet.tv. Now, that's the end of this episode, but don't fret. The InfoWars Nightly News is not going anywhere for the next 2 days. We do have two very special reports. Tomorrow, July 4th, you'll get to see Dave and Knight talk to Miss Charlotte Isabee. You know, she's a, expert on education in this country. So stay tuned for that tomorrow, July 4th. And also on July 5th, we will have a sneak preview, I guess you could call it, of Obama Deception 2. We'll give you some sneak peeks at interviews with Richard Mack, Joel Scales, and also Chuck Baldwin, Pastor Chuck Baldwin. So stay tuned for that. Both new content Thursday and Friday right here on InfoWars.com, PrisonPlanet.tv. So I'm Jakari Jackson, and I'll see you next week.
Now you can watch The Alex Jones Show live as it happens at InfoWars.com/show.
You'll find links to all of our content there and a free 15-day trial for Prison Planet TV.
More than 60 movies and documentaries all in one place at InfoWars.com/show.